It's a blessing to be here with you. We greet you in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shane, just a heads up, sometime later, song number 699, Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing. Last Sunday, we had looked at worship, and we had looked at two main examples. One was at the dedication of the temple, where the fire of the Lord came down, consumed the offering, the sacrifices, and the people responded, fell down on their faces, and they worshiped. The other example was Job. After losing his herds, his flocks, and all his children, he fell down and he worshiped. How we know God informs how we worship. And I think of that one verse in Psalm 103 where it says, "The Lord made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel." And I think in these two examples of worship, the children of Israel saw the acts of the Lord as the fire fell, and they worshiped. I think Job had somewhat an understanding of his ways, not just his acts. If he would have looked only at the acts of the Lord and what he was going through, I'm not sure that he would have responded in worship, but he had an understanding of the ways of the Lord. And so how we know God informs how we worship. This morning I've entitled the message, "The Pursuit of Knowing God." And it's a pursuit. It's a lifelong pursuit. In this life, we won't come to the place of fully knowing God. In 1 Corinthians 13, it's a few verses, says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." And in Ephesians 2, verse 7, it says that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Through the ages of eternity, I think there is this ongoing, growing awareness of the greatness of God. If God is infinite, could it be that it takes infinity to get to know him? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. So in the pursuit of knowing God, and sometime later I'd like to open it up for you, what are ways that you have gotten to know God? How have you grown in knowing God? In Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us, "Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So this morning's message of knowing God is on the basis that God is, and we simply need to believe that he is. Can we prove that God is? Can anyone prove that God is? There's a lot of evidence that we can conclude that yes, he is, but to actually prove it scientifically, I don't think so. It is by faith we understand that he is. If we could really prove it, is it still faith? Then it's logical conclusions that he is. And believing that God is an act of faith. God has put things in place and he revealed himself in ways that it makes sense to believe that he is, even if we can't prove him. In Romans 1:20, For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So the things that cannot be seen about God, he's invisible, and yet it's saying we can clearly see him by the things that are made. It's almost like a contradictory statement. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. And so God reveals himself in ways that it makes sense to believe that he is. In Hebrews 11, verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We look at creation. Can we prove that God created? No, it's by faith we understand that he did. We cannot scientifically prove it. If we just look at our surroundings, we look at the building here. Was there a builder? Multiple builders. Just the clock. Did the clock just happen to be there? No, someone designed it. The pews you're sitting on, was there a craftsman who made them? And yes. And so everything that we see, someone designed or built it. And as we step outside and we look at the natural world, wouldn't it make sense to just say that, there has to be someone who made the trees, the grass, the stars, the oceans, the microorganisms? Doesn't it just make logical sense to have faith that there is a creator? And so I think it is a logical faith to believe that God is. Well, the message this morning is not about if God exists or not, but how can we know him? And we want to grow in our awareness and knowledge of him. For the main text this morning, I invite you to Philippians chapter 3. Be reading the first 14 verses. Philippians 3, starting in verse 1, and I invite you to stand for the reading of the scripture. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You may be seated. To me, this is a life-giving passage, the pursuit of knowing God. Paul starts off this passage here sort of just saying, I'm reiterating a few things to you, things that you've heard before, whether it was when he was present and spoke or if he had written earlier, I'm not sure. But he says, to write some of the same things to you, it's not a bad thing. And he gives them a warning. There are evil people out there. Beware of the concision. Concision has to do with mutilators, those who cut off. Beware of those who are out to destroy. But then 3-6, Paul talks about his credentials. He had the credentials to be successful in the Hebrew Jewish society that he grew up in. His parents did the right thing, circumcised him the 8th day. They taught him properly. He was taught under Gamaliel, a reputable teacher. He had the right pedigree, was an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin and Hebrew of the Hebrews. He kept the law. He had a reputation as being righteous. He did it right. But it wasn't enough. Paul is saying in the next verses, the things that were important, the things that I held dear, I counted them as loss. I was willing to lay those things down. They are not my security anymore. And I don't think Paul is saying, I wish I had not grown up Jewish. I don't hear him saying that. But he's just saying, these things are not my security. They don't define who I am anymore. In Romans 3, in writing to the Romans, he asks the question, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. But he used his back, he didn't, how would I say, he held his background loosely, but the information, the value that he had from his growing up years, he used that. He could quote Old Testament scriptures, and he could write persuasively that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament writings. If he would have grown up Gentile, he probably would not have been capable of doing that. And so there were blessings that he recognized in other passages of having grown up the way he did. But he held them loosely, and he was saying, those are not important to me anymore compared to my longing to know Christ. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. In the ESV it says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Knowing Christ Jesus sort of obliterated all the other things that might have been important in the past. But now the focus is knowing Christ Jesus, his Lord. That was primary. Why? So that he could win Christ. It's not necessarily so that I can win others for Christ. It's so that I can win Christ. I want to gain Christ. I want to know him. There are a lot of good things to be involved in, a lot of different ministries, whether it's kids' church, Hands of Christ, going on the mission field, singing for elderly, going to the nursing homes, going to church. They're all good things. But knowing Christ needs to be primary. And out of knowing Christ, these other things should flow. We don't do these things to gain favor, but as we know Christ, we live out of that knowing. And in verse 9, it talks about being found in him, in Christ. Not the righteousness that he used to experience by following the law, but now the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then he comes to verse 10, just sort of the central verse here, that I may know him. I see a longing in Paul's heart to know Christ, to grow. He wants to know about the power of the resurrection. He wants to know about the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. To know Christ. To know means to be aware of, to perceive, to understand. Can refer to intimate relationship. There are a variety of interpretations of how know is used in Scripture. I think Paul here is probably all of the above. To grow in awareness of, to grow and to perceive and understand, to grow more intimate with Christ. And then he desires to know the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. We cannot experience the power of the resurrection before there is a death. In Matthew Henry, his comment is, the apostle was as ambitious of being sanctified as he was of being justified. What are we most ambitious about? The idea of being sanctified or being justified? We like the idea of being justified. We are right with God. But the work of sanctification is every bit as important, that we continue that process of dying to self, getting rid of the dross, getting rid of the things that don't align with the values of God. Be sanctified. I know in years gone by, I have noticed quite a number of elderly people, and quite a number of them are not here anymore, but older people who in their aging and the physical body declining, there's still that hunger, a desire for growth, a longing to become more Christ-like, of knowing him. And that's encouraging to me. There's a part where, boy, if I could reach a certain level and attain it, wouldn't that be nice? I don't think that would be as encouraging to me as to see that ongoing hungering and longing for growth in elderly people, even as their bodies are declining. And I see the same thing here in Paul. He's saying, you know, I have not attained what I am really after. I'm still pressing on. I'm still looking forward to attaining more. In the ESV, in verse 12, it reads, not that I have already obtained this, and I think that's referring back to the resurrection of the dead, the way I understand it. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. He wants the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to be his own, and he's pressing on towards that. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. And he presses on. And when we forget what lies behind us, I think it's the failures and the successes. We put those behind us in our pursuit of knowing God. And when it talks about pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, it talks about exerting effort. It's not this casual ambling along, well, I'll plan to get there sometime, but it's no urgent need. Let's just take it easy. We don't see that coming through in this passage, but Paul is diligent in saying, I am putting forth effort to reach the mark. I am disciplining my body. I am putting it under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I want to reach the prize. In Luke 11, think a passage that applies here, where Jesus says there is a reward for those who put effort into it. And he says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And I don't think that asking is just sort of sitting back and asking, well, could I have this? I think it's an effort being put into asking and seeking and knocking. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And the answers are obviously no. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Do you believe that you have the Holy Spirit? Did you ask it of him? Did you seek it and pursue it with effort for the Holy Spirit? If you do, the Father delights in giving it to you. If you don't have it, it is worth putting effort into to pursue it. Ask, knock, seek, and the Father delights in giving it. And as we have his Spirit, as it says in Romans 8:16, his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What a wonderful promise. This passage in Philippians 3, just a wonderful passage of pursuing in knowing God. And I'd like to sing the song 699, Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing, just puts thoughts into words that I think are appropriate for us to sing together, and I would invite you to stand as Shane comes forward to lead that. 699.
Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow, thirsting for more and deeper coming.
Thank you for that. It's another song. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? Face to face, oh blissful moment. Face to face, to see and know. Still coming. Now we know in part, but then shall we know even as we are known. May we hunger and thirst after him. So what are ways of knowing God? And I'd like to open it up just briefly. Are there things that you would like to share with the congregation? How have you put effort into knowing God and been rewarded in finding and knowing him? Is there anyone? Paul.
Well, the first thing is...
Go ahead, bring the mic.
It's simply to realize it is a grace of God that I have that desire. And I just praise him for that and to build on that. But sermons like today have really been an inspiration for me through the years as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anyone else? Nelson.
There are illustrations of what God's heart is in Scripture that connect with me at different times more than others. The first time I was holding Caspian and he was sick, just inconsolably sick and crying, and how that, like, I was crying too because I couldn't do anything about it. It just had to pass. And then I remembered as a father has compassion on his children, so does the Lord on those that fear him. And that hit in a way that it never had before. Like, I understood something of God's heart, mm-hmm. that through the illustration he's given us of this is how I am.
Thank you.
I would just add a little bit to that. Scripture tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and I find for myself the first thing in the morning is a good time to read God's word, read devotionals, and to seek his face in prayer.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for those. Might be some overlap in a few ideas that I have written down. At home we discussed it, I asked some of the children, so what are ways of knowing God? And one of the first responses was, well, it takes time. Just simply taking time with God. If you are developing a friendship, doesn't have to be courting, but just developing a friendship with a person, it takes time. You get to know a person by relating to him in different settings, in different ways, but it takes time. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. We can talk about quality of time. We need quality time. I would encourage quantity as well. And I think quality will more likely come out of quantity. Take time. Jesus spent time with the Father when he was on the earth. He was 40 days and nights in the wilderness, fasting and praying under trial. But I think it was a time of seeking after God. In Luke 6:12, it's recorded that Jesus spent the whole night in prayer. And other times, the disciples found him praying. Spend time with him. Earlier, we had in Romans 1:20, it talks about how the things that we see reveal the invisible. And I think just simply taking time to observe God's creation can be a means of knowing him. I don't know how many of you noticed the sunrise this morning. Karen and I were sitting on the front porch, and just as the sun was coming up, it wasn't your vibrant, brilliant colors this morning. It was more just the pastels, the soft colors blending into each other. And to us, it was just a time of worship. And it's in observing creation we get glimpses of who God is. We have a picture of a flower, and underneath there's a quote, and I don't know who said the quote, but it says, "If we could see the miracle of a single flower clearly, our whole life would change." It's not scripture, but a quote to think a bit about. To clearly see the miracle of a single flower has the potential of changing our whole life. And then it's also simply taking time with Jesus. And that can be in your bedroom, in your office, out in nature, but take time. Secondly, obey revealed truth. When we know something to be truth that God is asking of us, we need to respond in obedience if we want to grow in our knowing him. In 1 John, it's a few scriptures, a few verses here. 1 John 2, verse 3, it says, "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." And when we're talking about this, we're not talking about a legalistic obedience where I'm trying to obey to gain favor, but it's because I love my Lord. I want to know him. And out of that, we follow with obedience. And as it says later in 1 John 5, verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." And Jesus said similar words in John 14, verse 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." So simply responding in obedience to reveal truth, I think, is a vital step of growing in knowing Jesus. In 1 John 5, sort of a similar thought, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." And then he ends that epistle on a sort of unique note, says, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen." Sort of a unique way of ending that epistle, I think. But I think it's an important lesson to learn. If we want to know him, we need to get rid of the high places of idolatry within our heart. Those high places limit our ability to seek after him and to know him. And so responding in obedience to the truths that we know is important to grow in knowing him. And thirdly, when the Father draws you to Jesus, respond. Act. In John 6, 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Have you ever had this desire stirring in your heart to know Jesus? The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak, and, well, I'll do something about it tomorrow, or the next day, or the next week. Did that burning desire remain? Often it's a limited time when we have a burning desire. And it's important that we respond and act when the desire is given. We're not guaranteed when the next time will come when we really desire for it. And I think when we have these times where the Father draws us, we need to respond. And sometimes there are disciplines that we need to enact. Maybe it's fasting. Maybe it's sort of the discipline of, you know, one meal a week I'm going to skip and set aside that time, especially to seek after God, to know Him. Maybe it's setting your alarm 5 minutes earlier so that you have this little slot of time to seek after God and to know Him. Just doesn't have to be a lot, but just taking at least a step, whether it's small or big, take a step in pursuing when the Father draws. Quench not the Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And when I think the Father draws, the Spirit is drawing you, and we don't respond, and we just, maybe sometime. I think that is a quenching of the Spirit that is happening. So when the Spirit draws, act. In closing, I'd like to read one verse from 2 Peter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. May God give each of you not only the desire, but the ability to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And may I say, when the Father draws, He enables you, but you have the choice. May you grow in the knowledge of Christ. Shall we kneel and pray?